So welcome back to part two of this very exciting Saturday with live with Eleanor and Linda and friends. And I'd like to hear, just take us a little bit of time here and ask for some feedback, just one thing that we will put in our imaginary basket. Because when we dare to share in this way and just think, wait a minute, if my cells could talk, my cells could give me feedback, like what did I just get out of this way of looking at the body? And I would really like to ask you if you would share. And Teresa.
So for me, it was just a big wow. So as vagus, emotion, connected all together, diaphragm. I know quite a lot about anatomy, and I'm really so happy to get this plasticity of showing how it works. And we are all connected. And my wow is my cells, in a way, are talking to yours.
Oh.
Thank you.
Thank you. And actually, I'd like you to say where you are, because we have quite a big gathering here. So, Teresa, where are you?
I'm in southern Switzerland, in the Italian part.
Looking over the wall toward Italy on your property.
Yeah, exactly.
So, and I would just love to hear, oh, Michelle, hi, you were able to join us. You have to go back and look at this first part because it was really, I think, really useful for you. Let's see, Karen, give us some, sorry to interrupt you in your lunch, dinner. we'll wait till you've had a chance to chew. So Gary or Sandy, well, Karen is having a chance to chew her food. What does this bring up for you? And then Anna.
There. Actually, I think for myself is what Eleanor was saying about how our hands work with the energy. And that's going to be a whole new dimension, you know, with working with ourselves and with other people. I think that was my main.
Beautiful.
Yeah, that's really cool.
They're beautiful. And something, Michelle's not seeing something. What maybe you don't.
She doesn't know how to get to the recordings. So we may need.
Well, not now. Hey, later. What I'm going to ask Kirsten to do is send you a copy of this instead of having to go somewhere, because it's not easy to go to where we load it. So Eleanor will help me remember, she'll just send you a link to it. That would be much better. Karen, are you ready?
Yes. I ate my lunch. So I've felt just so very much lighter. Was kind of a wonderful feeling to just know that moving around rather than using the fingers to make the circle, that I was circling around the hand, that was very helpful.
Beautiful. Thank you. Mm-hmm. And it's so lovely to hear that. And Pam, you mentioned you weren't prepared. This is about like just intuitively doing the best you can. What comes up for you? You know, it's so interesting. We often think that we have to really figure out what we're saying, but you might be surprised if we just start talking, what comes up that we didn't even know we were thinking. So, Anna.
What brought up for me today was it must have been within the last 10 days. One day I decided I was going to take my poles and really go outside. I hadn't done that yet. Uh-huh. And I had somebody, an older man, when I was talking about poles, he was like so angry. But when he saw the poles, it reminded him of skiing. He thought of them as ski poles. So I thought, I'm going to walk out around the neighborhood. And what happened for me, part of me was my ego. And then all of a sudden, I was there with myself. And what I found out, which is, it blows my mind, because I'm always, when I drive, I know that my right side is so extended because, you know, that right foot's always accelerator brake, blah, blah, blah. And all of a sudden, when I was walking and I was letting my pole, each pole just kind of go forward, it turned out that my right hand actually was able to go in and be really light with it. And my left hand barely, it wanted to grab on. And of course, it's because my left hand is such the holder. So all of a sudden I had to say, what is my right side doing to teach my left side how to flow a little bit more lightly? And it's just been that interesting teaching about how one part of me seems to flow in a certain way. And then how do I learn about what is that flow? And of course, the circle and the quarter, Teletin T-Touch, and Eleanor working with us around the poles. It has been absolutely magic. So thank you again. My hands.
Thank you. Gracias. Oops, where are you?
you need to unmute yourself, Gracia.
I did. I'm sorry. There we go. I'm always a bit slow in this. It was really very amazing, a very deep lesson. One strong for me that I felt in the hands. And it's like, I know that this is healing energy in the hands, but I tend not to trust it. And it was a great reminder. And the other thing is that I usually have a lot of pain here in this place where we worked. And so to see this on a photograph is extremely helpful. It also like a heart to me.
Beautiful.
And yeah.
But you know, Gracia, you know what I'd love to say to you? When you say it's like the almost not trusting of the hands in that way.
Yes.
You know what takes the burden off of us is when we realize it's not us and that it's this coming through the universe and we're just being the opening, that the accepting. It's like thinking, it can be burdensome to think, oh, well, you have to think about it. You have to be the one. No, just be willing to bring it in, you know, and I think it's the same thing, you know, like when these surgeons were, there was this period of time when the women were doing the warrior pose before they go in for surgery, before they do a big event. There was a thing that started on a TV show, a hospital TV show, and a female neurosurgeon was getting ready, but she was really uncomfortable with the idea of doing the surgery that she was supposed to do. So she stood up and she just did the warrior pose
where she was looking like Wonder Woman with the shoulders back and the hands on the hips, and then bringing her head up like this and then looking confident. And she, and then you see the scene change and she goes, yep, that worked. I'm ready. And then it went on to TED Talks and probably NIH was doing whatever, everyone were doing studies on that it really made a difference. When we take the burden off of ourselves to have to be the answer, the thing, but instead when we just can bring it through us, the world has the answers, the universe has the answers. And it's not the universe just in space, it's just everything around us, because it's been around us for millions of years. So there's a knowing in that. And when we take that moment to bring that in, then we can put our hands on and go, oh, there's something in that.
Well, there's a great deal in that. And of course, that is the concept of Reiki, that you bring that universal energy through yourself in and pass it on. What I'd like to do, to say this again, with Tea Touch, rather than bringing that energy from outside us, is answer the question, basic question, how can I breathe? How is it that my blood flows? How can I see? How can I speak? How can I move? It's that intelligence in every cell in our body. So instead of thinking another way, I shouldn't say instead of, it all works. It all works. Instead of thinking, okay, that amazing potential is out, miracles is outside of us. No, the miracles are inside of us. And the fact that this 50 trillion cells communicate, Bruce Lipton's gift to us, this communication between the cells, you know, Dr. Fritz Albert Popp, this concept that this light in the cells represents the communication between the cells. And so for me, Reiki has helped so many countless people around the world by bringing that concept through you. What Tea Touch does is recognize that intelligence is within us, and that when we connect, and one of the ways of connecting is through this spiral circle that is in all of nature, it's like the key to unlock that. So when we, you think of using our hands in this way, this healing energy in our hands, it is us, but it's so far beyond, as Eleanor said, it's all around us. And that, if you remember, some of you remember the quote, you know, that I don't have it out here yet, but it's the King James version of, I've got to remember the exact quote, but it's that God is within and all around us. Talking about here. And so looking inside like this and looking, taking away, like really looking at the parts of us, Eleanor, and with your explanation that are so inclusive and so brilliant, it's really beautiful. Sandra, if you could, you move yourself. That would be, you know, it's a great gift to see it from another point of view, to see the wonder of the anatomy and not, you know, the limitation, because we can do what Moshe could do, and we can bring this from a whole other point of view with the connection to the universal intelligence within. Rasia.
I just have a question. Where is the connection with the umbilicon? How do you say the umbilicon? Yes, it seems that this is a central point, because we are connected there to the mother when we come into life. And I just wondered, when I recently had a shock, I had a small accident, but it was a shock and other things going around it. I couldn't breathe, and I had this, all the emotions I felt. I usually feel a total blockage in my belly around the umbilicon, and I had tremendous pain in the back and the psoas and everywhere. And I just wonder, this is must be such, where is it in that whole picture? We see the picture, but where is the place of the umbilicon?
So Eleanor, that would be fun to go there.
Hold on.
For the next Saturday.
But I would like to just say something to that. Because I just pulled it in. I have no knowledge, but it came in, and the side of my head that it comes in, I listen to. I'm like, oh, fascinating. Okay, I'll let you know.
It's your mom passing it on.
Yeah. Wow. She does it very openly, and it's amazing. So I'm like, okay, you know, there's a lot of people, Raycia, that talk about this, but wait a minute. Every mammal disconnects its umbilical cord, whether the mother chews it, you know, or a doctor cuts it. So it's a have to happen. Oh, and this is when this comes in through and says, because then therefore it allows for all the other parts to develop. If that stays connected, then all the other ways of us don't get to go to that further development. But by that being disconnected, it now begins the beginning of the developing of the connection to all that is, and to other people, and to animals, and to plants, and the mineral kingdom, and all of that. And those develop and mature, and we need them to. So that's interesting. I only say thank you. Wait, hold on, I know. I only say thank you when I hear that. So I don't, you could take it for what it is, but that's what came through. It's a necessity and a gift, because that allows us. It's like it takes us from crawling to standing and walking. Make sense?
Yes, but until we are born, we are also get nurtured through that.
Oh, sure. Oh, sure. Absolutely. Without a doubt. No, it's necessary.
I think she's talking about what are the connections with the anatomy. Is that what you're thinking? I'm not sure what Rosie's question was.
Well, I was just adding that, but I totally agree that it needs to be this. That was wonderful how you said it, that by disconnecting that nutrition, you start your independent life on Earth with everything, connecting to everything. But it must be a very important point. Also, we don't think about it very much anymore afterwards.
Well, I think it would be a good subject for Eleanor for us to explore, because there's so much stuff with the pelvic floor, with all the stuff that we were born and then we deal with over our lifetimes. So it would be another great Saturday, other part of our anatomy to connect with.
And I will take it through our tube systems that start from the moment that the cells start to develop. So, yeah. Great.
Okay. Our next Saturday together. Thank you, Rosie. So I would love to hear for some more of you. I know it's hard when you're just sitting there and thinking, oh, what have I got to say? Just open your mouth and ask yourself, they could talk. What would, you know, if you can't think of anything, huh? Jewel, how about you? I love your smile.
So I'm getting a list of people that are wanting the, I think we need to send it to everybody, Linda.
No, we will, of course.
Okay, because people are texting me right now.
No, of course, everybody.
And I need Michelle for you to give me your last name and your email address. Hold on, there. Okay, so hold on, I'm just.
Well, Kirsten will send it. You don't have to worry about it.
Okay.
On Monday.
Okay. Okay, so she'll send it to everybody then.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, fantastic. So Linda.
But hold on one second while we're going here. Christina, who are you? I don't know you. Yes, unmute. Is that Michelle who comes up as Christina? No, it's not. So I just, as I say, Eleanor, this community, some of them haven't been coming in on the Tuesdays. So I would like to see this gathering who are here and have an opportunity just to, you know, get to know each other a little bit. So Michelle, since you've got there, and then I'm going to ask Christina just if you will talk to us, please. And you may have a different name up than what we have. So Michelle, you weren't here for the first part. So you, darn. I'm so looking forward to you listening to that first part. Could you just introduce
yourself? I have more to go over, Linda, if you would like, because I think this is really important. And we're 10 minutes before the hour before we start.
No, Eleanor, we stopped. We have 3 hours and we start and we stopped at 20 after. So we'll take our next break at when we came back. So the 20 after.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So I don't want to stop your flow. So we'll come to this after then. I just wanted, because there's so much important information, it's really hard to remember how we were feeling in that first part. But let's trust the universe, and I want you to like go, girl.
Okay, so I want to show you guys something. Hold on, share screen. Okay, I want you to look at this. Hold on. Okay, so look at these typical areas. It's a blurry picture. It's not your eyes, and it's not your screen. It's just when I expanded the picture, it got a little bit blurry. But here are some of the typical areas where you can see pain, achy, in the back that becomes kind of like a chronic thing. So you'll hear people talk about this low part straight down the back, because if the psoas is getting too strong on one side and weak on the other. If the psoas is out of balance on one side and the other, then one side of your back can be chronically overworking or getting pulled. I'm going to say something about that in just a moment. The other place people will say, usually when people come and they have sciatic pain, it's on the back side of the butt cheek, right? The buttock and the side of the thigh. It can be a little bit radiating in the front, but really that is the psoas and more the femoral nerve that's being implicated in the front side. And then here are three areas where it can be out of balance, meaning too tight, dried out, overpulled, twist and turned, all the different things you can think of. The psoas, major and minor, the iliopsoas, which is all with along the backside of the beautiful bony structure of your pelvis. And then right where it comes through the inguinal nerve area, the little canal, and it hooks to the thigh bone, which is where, again, I say Linda worked with Roland. In there, whether it's the front or the back side. You have to be careful about going to people who work really deep through the front because they can impinge on a nerve or hurt a blood vessel. So it's important. Another reason why T-touch with the very gentle work makes a difference, because I think that we're working more with a resonance, a communication within the cells, not a bossiness of pushing the muscle around. Make sense? So and again, the psoas is about your nervous system. It's not just about structure. And if people only think it's about structure, they're not going to be able to help people well enough. But when you understand that it's deeply involved in the nervous system and supportive organs, then you realize how gentle work makes a huge, huge difference. Oh, I got to go back to what was it? I wanted to come back to this one. The front, and I lost it. Okay. I don't remember what that is. Hold on. Okay, let's look at this one. These are just fascinating.
When you say this, right, left, or middle, we can't tell.
Oops. Okay. Well, this grouping of pictures fascinates me. Yeah. Okay. Go back. Okay. Because you're seeing it from different angles. So you're seeing it from within the pelvis where it's connecting. This is called the piriformis muscle or piriformis muscle. This, if the psoas is pulled and yanking to one side, the piriformis muscle gets pulled also. And the piriformis muscle is a bugger boo. And there's a name to it. There's even piriformis stretchers. There's piriformis digging tools that therapists sell online, and it's baloney because you never want to go in there with these big things and stretch them. There are therapists that go internally and go in. So they'll go internally and press their finger back along the piriformis here, and you cannot believe the relief that it can cause. Can give you. It's like, oh, and everything in the back that was bothering you can be relieved. And the shame is, in our society, we're not allowed to go internally. So some pretty clever people came up with a couple of tools for women that have adhesions and scar tissue all along back there. And they use the tool to go in that's very gentle to massage it from inside. And it's a saving grace to help against this pain, which some people would call pelvic floor pain. Now, the other place that's that bugaboo is right, the third one on the right side, is where the piriformis is connecting to the sacrum. How many times have you heard people talk about the pain back here? That's the same as that front one, the first picture. That's that picture back here. When we rock the pelvis around the clock, look at that picture on the right. Think of rocking the pelvis around the clock. How much it's going to engage it in its softness. And go, to help the piriformis. So it goes back to when somebody is standing, hold on, when somebody is standing like this all the time, then the psoas is pulled on one side and rotated, and then it tightens that muscle right back here. And the people have pain here all the time. And we have beautiful in T-touch, right?
We have the snail's tail. We have all these beautiful things that make all the difference, Linda. That we can work along there to give the support up in. And we can do what we did today earlier, which is taking our raccoon fingers and going down underneath and just rocking around that. So it's not the clock in the middle, it's the clock around that side. And you see, even my head, that, and I'm watching my breathing, because now we'll remember that it connects into the diaphragm. And it supports the kidneys to sit on a shelf of the psoas, called a shelf. Just this kind of movement. So we have tools. And it's the slow sliding of the hand that comes out that makes us go, oh my gosh. And then we bring into our hands from the universe, we come back to the other side and we walk around that. And as Linda, as we've done so often, we bring in the smile. And we notice when we breathe in and when the air comes out, because it's involved in the diaphragm. So we're waking up the breathing and we're including the diaphragm. So we're communicating to the systems while we're encouraging them to be involved. So if the psoas muscle is connected to the diaphragm, but we bring in breathing awareness into it while we're doing the movement, we're now waking the whole systems up. And then we can just slowly take it and slide the hand back down. And feel that the spine is more in the middle. And I will tell you, anybody that has scoliosis or knows about people with severe scoliosis, it's almost always the psoas muscles. So when you can, when one psoas is pulling, so when you do these lessons and the psoas becomes a light tension, light. Tension guide wire, not a heavy guide wire, but a light tension guide wire. The spine is in the middle and the psoas can do the pulling gently and this way and that, so it can pull and be involved. And my question to you is then, how the heck would that muscle group get dry? Now, we know it can get dry from dehydration, and we know it can get dry with people when they're low on the essential fatty acids. So for nutrition, we'll say, you know, look at the gut so that you're absorbing the water and increase omega fatty acids to help it to be supple again. And do these breathing, self-touch, and movement lessons. And let's also remember, when we're doing the walking lesson, right? When we're doing the walking lesson, hold on, I got dogs under my feet here. One sec.
I don't want to disturb you. I'm sorry. Okay.
Right? So when we've got the, there. So when we've got the legs and we're doing, remember the bending? Go back to these lessons, the suppleness in the ankles, the suppleness in the knees, the suppleness in the hips. See my psoas, see the psoas muscles connecting to the 12th thoracic vertebrae, to every vertebrae, all the way down to the legs and there. And so here, watch this. And you can do this. Hold on.
Eleanor, do you want them to go on and get their poles or something? Because we're just
Yeah. Let go get your poles, and we're going to come back and we're going to add this in, because you're going to see how many beautiful tools we can use for ourselves. We can also do this sitting, and we can do this standing. Your choice. I'm just going to do it standing to show you, but you can also do this sitting.
But we have to give people time to get the poles.
Okay, you have 5 minutes to go get your poles.
Now, what about the ones who don't know about it? What can they do?
So if you don't, I'm sitting on a different type of chair. So if you're going to imagine just sitting right there and just bringing the arms 90 degree angles from the arm to the forearm at the elbow. And we're going to just do it from here sitting. But for right now, if you can get your poles, we're going to stand up. So you could just see some of the things I'm doing while you're getting ready. Boy, to wake up the diagonals is a lifesaver. Does everybody have them? Good. I love it. Fast 3 minutes. So just stand up, and we're going to see. Tilt this down just a little bit. Okay. Can you hear me? Can you hear me from this distance?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay, good. Sorry, I'm so far away. So we take the feet are in the step position. Remember the step position? One foot
but
is just...
Some don't know about it, so you've got to right. Go over. Remember,
not okay. So one foot is slightly back of the other foot. In other words, the toes are almost at the arch of the other foot, but underneath your hips. So your legs are under your hips, your feet are under your hips, and just a few inches back with one foot. Why? Because we're always a little bit more stable when we have one foot a little bit back. It allows us to be ready to move forward, back, or to the sides. And so what we're doing is we're imitating already the stepping position. So we're already imitating the biological process of stepping forward and walking. And that's what these poles are about. So now the poles are to our sides under the hands, and we're just going to bend. Okay, so let's say the right foot is back and the left foot is a little bit forward. We're going to bend the knees and the ankles and bring one pole forward and one pole back. So when we're in the middle, the poles are in the middle. And when we bend our knees and ankles, one pole is back and one pole is forward. And then we come back to the middle. And then we bend the knees and ankles and one pole is forward and the other pole is back. And now go ahead and make that rhythmic movement. Your hands are soft, your breathing is easy. And I would invite you to go inside yourself and notice the movement of your psoas being soft and supple with capability to be involved with the movement. Lauren? Thank you. And then just come back to the middle. What you're doing is you're activating the pumping, massaging movement of the psoas. And then now bring the other foot, the one that was behind, bring it a little bit in front, and the other foot that was in front, bring it just a little bit behind. And notice if that's even natural for you or not. How many notice it's not as natural as the other way? Right, so good for you. You intuitively went to the side that works for you in the first place. So now the hands, elbows are bent at a 90 degree angle. You're resting your soft hands on the poles. And now you're going to bend the knees and the ankles and then straighten them and then bend them and straighten them and bend them and straighten them. And just notice your breathing. It's different on this side, right? How many people find it's not as easy on this side to move one pole forward and one pole back? You know why? This is fascinating. It's just the way your vertebrae are turned a little bit, because it shows that you're more dominant with one psoas than the other, which, by the way, we almost all are. We almost all are. 99.9% of us are more dominant one on one side than the other. That's the intelligence of what we have. But for instance, with horses, when Linda sets up a labyrinth, even though the horse typically maybe turns to the left more often, we're using the labyrinth to help teach them how to turn around themselves to the right too. Many things. The poles for us are helping us rotate our spine and activate the psoas so that we can turn around ourselves without using the labyrinth. We're using the poles as our guide to turn around ourselves. And we're getting a soft, springy, spongy psoas again. Oh my goodness. It's delicious and delightful. And then come back to the middle and let your feet be under you. And now go ahead and just take the poles, drag them behind you as you start to walk around the room. Let the poles just drag behind you until all of a sudden you feel one pole start to come forward and the other one forward and the other one. And then let them go back to dragging. Just let them drag. When you let them drag, you'll start to feel that one starts to move. So it's not about using the poles correctly at this point. It's about waking up our contralateral movement, our movement from one shoulder to the opposite hip and the other shoulder to the opposite hip. That's what we want to wake up, because that's including the psoas and the spine to be flexible and pliable in our movement. And as a side effect, it will improve our digestion. It will improve our kidneys. And then come back to the middle. And then both the poles underneath the hands. One step position. And just bend it.
Eleanor, I want to interject here. For those who can't move, really imagine that you're doing it. Really move whatever you can as you sit there and imagine that you're moving.
And even if the movement is in your imagination, your body is actually doing it. And if you can do it sitting in the chair and the movement is a 16th of an inch, that is the most important thing. It's not about the huge movement. It's about the initiation, all that happens within that initiation. all that is involved in that. It's that. And then change to the other foot.
What do you mean by change to the other foot? Sorry.
So in other words, have one, thank you, Linda. Have one foot in front, a little bit, just a little bit, a couple of inches in front of the other. And then do the bending of the ankles and the knees and the hips and the movement of the poles. Honey. And then come back. Hold on, I have a curious dog. Okay. And then put the other foot just a couple of inches in front and the other foot behind, but they're under the hips. And the poles down under your hands and then bending. And are both sides a little bit more similar than they were before? Do you find it a little bit more similar in the balance than it was the first time? Change it to the other leg. So the first leg is a little bit forward and the second leg is a little bit slightly behind. Bending. Where are you breathing and what are you noticing? Just a couple times and then come back to the middle. So Linda, I can't tell, are you bending the knees, bending the ankles? This up and down movement?
I am.
Oh, good. Okay, sorry. My computer screen's so far away from me, I can't see. And then just come back to the middle and rest because there's so much that happens in the pause. And just one last time, come to the second side. The second side that you did with that foot a little bit forward and the other foot behind, bending, and the hand, the arm going forward and back.
You mean stand up and do it?
Say it again?
You mean stand up and do it? Or?
Yeah. And feel if that side is easier now. Does it feel a little bit more like the first side that was easy? Yes, because what you're doing is, hold on, I'm going to move this one sec. Because what you're doing is you're using, you're activating the psoas muscle on one side and the other. And you're not using it as a stiff thing. Instead, you're using it to be able to use its potential for how it's designed for that fineness of guide wire that allows us to go forward and back. As a matter of fact, come to sitting. And what would happen as you're sitting to just lift one knee a little bit, just a couple of feet, a couple of inches off the floor, one foot and knee comes up a little. So it's ever so slight. It's just a little bit up. That's it. And then come back and then lift the other one. Is there a little bit more similarity between one and the other? And you only need to do it a couple times. And can you feel it to your tailbone? Can anyone feel a tickling to the tailbone? Uh-huh. So it's just, it's waking up. It's waking up what wasn't involved in the movement. That's all. Hold on one second.
Yeah. I know, I hear you, kitty.
So this is what's beautiful. And we can take the pole and we can do it sitting.
Hold on.
Honey. I'd love to hear what you noticed. But do you see how this can create balance and harmony in the use of self and the quality? And even go in and listen, if you could notice your kidneys, if you could. And the little important adrenal glands that are sitting on top, that are sometimes involved in the sympathetic activity, the activation activity, and just notice if there's just more of an integrated activity, integratedness, which is different. It's like being alert without coffee. There's a difference. Coffee gives a buzz, but our internal awakeness gives a different kind of aliveness and connectedness.
Wholeness.
Hmm. Yeah. What a good world we would be. Linda, do you want to add anything to it?
Well, Pam has her hand up.
Oh, Pam, I didn't see.
Oh, I just put my hand up. Linda, you could go first.
Go ahead, because I'm, yeah.
Eleanor, what I noticed, because I could do a little bit standing and I had to sit for most of the movement, is when I just kind of slowed things down and softened a little bit, kind of thought about the picture, or actually pictured in my mind, the psoas connection along the spine to the hip joint. And as I started to turn a little bit, as I let my knees move and my arms, I could start to feel the psoas instead of just rotation through the ribs or your pelvis or your knees. You know, even though it could be a really small movement, I started to get a sense of how the psoas moved. And it's like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. And I could really feel the difference between one side or the other. So that's my big aha.
And you know, Pam, isn't it amazing? Because I think I can feel my psoas too. I can go in and feel that beautiful thickness of that muscle and all the ways of nerves that travel through it.
Yeah, it's really
and deep. How my spine then doesn't do its typical this way. Yeah. It's this way.
Yeah,
it just feels like
describe this way.
I know I was going to. I could hear you in my head. And what does that mean? You know, we all have that way that we tend to fall over one side than the other. You know, we all have that place that we lean. Whatever, some people it's more one way, another way, meaning one to the right, one to the left, however it is. But when the psoas is beautifully spongy, thickness, encouraged, involved in the functioning of all the systems, not overly done and not flaccid. Well, it's never going to be flaccid at our age. It's going to be more overly done. It now can become softened and integrated into supporting the spine. And to supporting the spine to just be. in an effortless way. And when I go into my abdomen, in my mind, I actually feel it going down and connecting into my sit bones. And sometimes when I feel that, I just can't believe it.
Okay, so that gives us an opportunity. Thank you, honey. It's 20 after, and we're going to take our break until 30, and then we have another 30 minutes. And yes, we look forward to the next part.
Okay, stop. Sorry. So what, Linda?
I just stopped the recording.